Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
After King Nebuchadnezzar recovered from 7 years of madness, he acknowledged and praised the God of heaven as the everlasting King who lives forever and ever. He could finally see that only Almighty God gave truth and justice and had the ability to bring down proud human hearts. Nebuchadnezzar's throne was restored to him. When he died, there were several kings in very quick succession who took the throne of Babylon. These men did not follow Nebuchadnezzar's example of worshipping the living God. Instead, there was a power struggle between the supporters of the different Babylonian gods. One king fled the throne over his unpopular promotion of a particular god, and his son reigned for many years before this king returned to Babylon. In the Bible book of Daniel chapter 5, we're told the son's name was Belshazzar. While King Nebuchadnezzar was known as a great builder, Belshazzar was known as a partying man. He held many drunken feasts and encouraged his high officials to live in a debased, unrighteous manner. Although Nebuchadnezzar had built Babylon's walls very tall and wide, so wide that chariot races could be held on top of the walls, Belshazzar put his trust in these walls to keep out the armies of the Medes and Persians. Belshazzar had no desire to take his army out to meet the besieging troops of Persia. Instead, he felt content and secure while behind the walls of Babylon.
Following Nebuchadnezzar's death, evil Merodach, his son, ruled Babylon. He was a wicked ruler and lasted only 2 years. He was followed by Nergal-Sharezer, who was king for only 4 years. Then Nabonidus wore the crown of Babylon, but tiring of the strenuous task of ruling a great nation, he turned the kingdom over to Belshazzar, his son and grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Under the foolish and weak guidance of these four kings, Babylon lost its high position among the nations of the world. Of the four kings, Belshazzar was the worst, living only for self-glorification and pleasure, passing his time in mirth and revelry. It was not long before reverses came.
General, you look unhappy, worried. Here, drink some more wine. Be gay.
I cannot help but worry, Your Majesty. The combined armies of the Medes and Persians, under command of Cyrus, are marching against Babylon. They are almost here.
Oh, listen, General. Are the walls of Babylon able to keep out any army?
They are massive and tall, Your Majesty.
The gates and the walls?
They are impregnable, Your Majesty.
How about food and water, General?
Babylon is well stocked, Your Majesty. We could stand a siege of several years' duration.
Babylon is not only a city, but a fortress as well.
My king is right. It is impossible for any army, regardless of how great, to take Babylon.
And what are you worrying about, General? Hey, more wine for the general!
The Medes and Persians are camped right outside the city, Your Majesty.
General, we're safe inside these walls. I told you that.
Yes, Your Majesty. The enemy is still camped out there, Your Majesty.
Now, what are they doing?
Nothing, Your Majesty. Well, that's what worries me. They're camped behind that hill, just this side of the river. As far as we can tell, they're just sitting there, waiting.
I'll let them wait.
Long live Belshazzar, king of Babylon.
You're the keeper of my treasure house.
I am, Your Majesty.
Somewhere in the treasure house are stored gold and silver vessels brought here from the temple in Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. Do you know where they are?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Get them. Bring them to me immediately. I see these gold and silver cups and vessels. They are from the Israelite temple in Jerusalem. They are supposed to be so sacred that they cannot be touched by unblessed hands. I say they are not sacred. I am above all gods, including the God of Israel.
bloodless hand. Writing on the wall. The letters gleam like fire. Scribe! Scribe! General! The words on the wall, the hand. Who's writing them? Scribe! Send those cups of gold and silver. No, it's too late. I'm doomed.
Your Majesty, the hand is gone.
But the writing, it's still there. Can you read the writing, Scribe?
No, Your Majesty. But your wise men and astrologers, cannot they read the writing?
Yes, come forth. Wise men and astrologers, and read to me the writing upon the wall.
We have tried, Your Majesty, and are unable to read the words.
You are Daniel?
I am, Your Majesty.
I've been told that you can read the writing up there on the wall and give an interpretation. If this be true, I shall clothe thee with scarlet and place a chain of gold about thy neck, and thou shalt be third ruler of the kingdom.
Keep your gifts, O king, and give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing and make known to the king the interpretation. O king, thou art a king of hardened pride. Thou hast not humbled thyself, but have exalted thyself above the God of heaven and desecrated the gold and silver vessels from God's holy temple in Jerusalem. The part of the hand thou sawest was from God, and the writing is his. And this is the writing. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This, O king, is the interpretation. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and brought it to an end.
No.
Tekel, thou art weighed in the balance and art found wanting. Upharsin, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. No!
While still in the festive hall, surrounded by those whose doom he had sealed, the king is approached by a messenger.
O king, the armies of the Medes and Persians have entered into Babylon and are taking the city.
Entered Babylon? Impossible!
O king, they turned the river Euphrates out of its channel and entered the city under the walls. Even now the army stands under this palace where the river used to flow. Soldiers are all over the city. Babylon is falling!
And in that night was Belshazzar, king of Babylon, slain, and Darius of the Medes and Persians took the throne.
Belshazzar brought God's wrath down on his own head. He had acted with contempt by ordering the sacred vessels of gold from the temple in Jerusalem to be used at his shameful banquet feast. People who challenge God often find a display of his awesome power very quickly and to their own hurt. While God gave Nebuchadnezzar a year to repent, he judged Belshazzar this particular night. Respect for God is so important. In the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, it says, "What does the Lord your God require of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God and live in a way that pleases him and love him and serve him with all your heart and soul." The words of Psalm 147 reminds us, "The Lord takes pleasure in those who reverently and worshipfully fear him, in those who hope in his mercy and loving kindness." Daniel no longer had a position of influence in the court of the king. Belshazzar did not consult him about any matters of state or religion. When King Belshazzar could find no one to interpret the words written on the wall of his banquet room, the queen mother reminded him that Daniel was the one who would be able to help. How sad it is for a nation when God's people are only consulted in a major crisis. A couple of centuries ago, a man went duck shooting during the duck hunting season. He took his Christian slave with him to help carry home any they caught. The man himself lived in a society in a way that showed his position in life gave him importance, and he took no interest in spiritual things. His slave told his master how the devil troubled him frequently. The master responded by saying that the devil didn't bother him at all. At that moment, a flock of ducks flew over, and the hunter opened fire on them. Some fell to the ground dead, while others fell only wounded. "Go for the live ones," he shouted to his slave. The dead ones we'll pick up later. The slave wondered if the devil didn't bother his master because he was already dead and belonged to Satan. The devil always takes the most interest in active Christians to cause them trouble. It's true, whether we like it or not, that genuine Christians are in a continual spiritual battle. This battle isn't against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world and against the rulers and authorities of this dark age. This fight goes on until we leave this earth. So how can we protect ourselves from the devil's attacks? In the New Testament book of Ephesians, chapter 6, we're told to put on the whole armor of God. This letter to the church in Ephesus was thought to be written by the Apostle Paul during his two-year imprisonment in Rome. He was guarded day and night by Roman soldiers and had many opportunities to study their full uniform. He wrote to the Christians that they were to put on God's whole armor so that they may successfully stand up against the strategies and the deceits of the devil. If Christians are to be victorious in this life, we have to wear the belt of truth. Roman soldiers wore a loose tunic held in place by a strong belt. When it came time to sleep, they simply took off their belt and their tunic became comfortable sleepwear. The gospel is the truth of God's word, and all who have believed in and relied on the Lord Jesus are sealed by God's Holy Spirit. The evidence of this consists in every form of kindly goodness, uprightness of heart, and trueness of life. Paul next speaks about the breastplate of righteousness. Soldiers wore a leather vest to protect their bodies from attack from enemy sword thrusts. In Isaiah chapter 64 it says, "You, Lord, welcome those who find joy in doing what is right, those who remember how you want them to live." This attitude of integrity comes from being in right standing with God. The soldier needs to put on footwear to give stability on rough ground. When we Christians know peace with God, we'll be ready to battle Satan. If God is for us, who can be against us? In Romans chapter 8 it says, "Who then can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble do it, or hardship, or persecution, or hunger, or poverty, or danger, or death? No, in all these things we have complete victory through him who loved us." Out in front of the soldier is his shield of protection. The Christian's shield is saving faith, which can quench all the flaming arrows shot by the devil. We need to carry our shield of faith at all times. In Proverbs chapter 30 it says, "God is like a shield for all who seek his protection." A soldier's head was covered by a metal helmet, which for Christians represents salvation. Satan will try to destroy our thinking about the Lord Jesus, but the Christian must bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We must guard what we put into our minds. In Philippians chapter 4 it says, "Fill your minds with those things that are good and that deserve praise, things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and honourable." Much of modern entertainment is the devil's tool to place his thoughts into our heads. And lastly, the soldier takes his trusty sword in his hand to use it against the enemy. For Christians, the sword of the Spirit is God's word. We must know what the Bible says, so that when we come to a situation, we can find the Holy Spirit's guidance from God's word on what we should do. Paul finishes the soldier's protection by urging the Christian to pray continually. Although King Belshazzar knew of his grandfather's faith in the living God, he turned aside to please himself. The invading army saw that Babylon's walls were too hard to conquer. They looked around for some other way to get inside the city. Satan, too, looks for any weakness in our lives that he can exploit. Just as a soldier's commitment to his commanding officer is total obedience, so must our obedience to the Lord Jesus be if we desire the victory over temptation. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus is